listening to the CCA Podcast.
We're so glad that you are with us. Hello, family and friends. So good to see you. Hey, listen, for 93 years in this great church, you have come to us on campus, and now we're coming to you online. Welcome to a new era of church online. Hey, listen, I'm Ryan. If this is your first time logging in, I'm Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We're the lead pastors here at Calvary, and we welcome you, family. We welcome you, friends. I hope you can sense it is just an awesome morning this morning already, and we're all about one thing here at Calvary, Jesus. We're all about helping people find and follow Jesus, as many people as we possibly can, starting here in Seattle and around the world. We want to make sure if you're watching this morning, go ahead and give a thumbs up or a heart right there on Facebook Live. Start writing in and letting us know what's going on. We want to give you a couple important things this morning. Number one, baptisms. This morning, we were originally set to do water baptisms, but what we're doing is we're rescheduling, and we're moving to April 26th, the Lord willing, April 26th. If you're interested in getting baptized, if you're interested in being immersed in water and having baptism, we want to ask you to do one thing. info@ccassembly.org. Send an email and let us know at info@ccassembly.org.
Also, we want to stay connected with you, and there are a couple different avenues in which you can do so. Instead of the Connect card that we have on a weekly basis available to you, we also have our email, which is info@ccassembly.org. info@ccassembly.org. That is where you can submit to us your prayer requests. Also, if you have any questions or anything that like that, we can connect you via that email. So be sure to use that resource that's available to you right here, right now. And then also, don't forget to like our Facebook page if you haven't done so already, and then follow us on Instagram. Our handle on Instagram is @ccassembly.
Calvary, one thing that I love about Calvary Christian Assembly is we're a community that's all about generous outreach. I want to let you guys know about an incredible opportunity. You know, just because COVID-19 is happening doesn't mean our mission of helping people find and follow Jesus stops. If anything, it's highlighted today. Week number two in the history of Calvary online broadcast to you. I want you to hear from here, from me to you, from us to you, that our mission is on the forefront of everything we think, say, and do. And one of those things I need your help today getting behind. We're getting ready in a couple weeks to do what we're calling a one day to feed the world offering. Now, here's what that looks like. We're partnering with Convoy of Hope as one of our missions that we support. You know, we have 70 plus missionaries that we support. Convoy Hope is one of those that we support. And what we want to do is in a couple weeks from now, we want to ask everybody to give one day of your wages to feed the world. Why Convoy Hope? Why are we partnering with Convoy? Well, I'm going to show you a video here in a minute, but since 1994, you need to know Convoy of Hope has served over 130 million people. Convoy of Hope serves not just food and feeds and clothes and so on and so forth, but they're unleashing hope with the gospel of Jesus Christ in 18 countries. Convoy of Hope feeds more than 300,000 kids every single day. And now more than ever, we want to get behind this great mission. Here's the scope. Everybody on average works 240 days a year. So what we're doing is you take your gross income, you take what you make in an entire year and you divide that by 240 work days. That number that you come up with is what we're taking on April 12th. We're receiving that offering to go ahead and to give to the mission of Convoy Hope, one day to feed the world. It's that easy. Linnea and I have already started preparing ours. Check out this video and then we'll be right back to talk with you a little more.
You're entering a world that's in crisis. Desperation, fear, loneliness have reached epidemic proportions, and millions still don't know that Jesus loves them. Frankly, that's why the world cannot afford for you to settle for a weak, apathetic brand of religion. The need out there is so great that God needs you at your best. I get it. It's so easy to become overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need and to throw up your hands and to say, that's not my problem, what will be, will be. But the God you serve longs to rescue millions. Repeatedly, you have been told that it's your job to bring the world to the church. Let me suggest to you that it's your job to take the church to the world. If ever the world needed a revolution of compassion and kindness, it needs one now. And so today the choice is yours to deliver hope to a desperate world. And there will be times that battle fatigue will set in. Friend, you are not created to play the role of a victim. You are an overcomer who has been raised up by Almighty God to bring hope and healing to the world. It's true. Let me challenge you to do something great for a world that needs you at your best. Together we can dry tears, we can give them hope. Millions are hurting and in need of help. Will you help them?
This morning, originally I was planning on being out of state for a seminary course in Montana over at Kalispell, and that, of course, got canceled, so I did my seminary course all week online. It was just a fabulous course, and so that changed my schedule. Originally, I wasn't going to be here today, and so we asked Pastor Hallie to speak. Pastor Hallie is our CCA Kids pastor here at Calvary, and so I thought, even though I'm here, that doesn't matter. We've asked her to bring a word. I've read through the notes. It's going to bless you this Amen. Morning. We've prayed this back to the Lord, and I'm really, really excited. Wherever you're at this morning, even though I can't hear you, would you just put your hands together and give it up for Pastor Hallie this morning? Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Oh, thank you. So good morning. Like Pastor Ryan said, my name is Pastor Hallie Thorpe, and I have the honor of ministering with our kids here at CCA. I've been in ministry for about 13 years, and I love working with kids. Kids keep it real. I love the honesty of children. I love hanging out with them. And I'm also excited and blessed to be able to give a message today in, well, we call this Big People Church downstairs. And so in Big People Church, I'm excited to be able to speak with you, especially during this time, because about 6 or 7 months ago, I was in a devotional, and the Lord told me, I want you to surrender how you do church to me. I want you to lay it all down and give it to me. And so I thought that was kind of weird, but I was like, all right, Lord, I'm going to surrender how I do church, what I think about church. Like I said, I've been in ministry for about 13 years, so I kind of have a pattern of how I do things and how I like to do things. And the Lord was like, no, I want you to give it all to me. And so I did, and I laid it down actually right in this room up in the balcony. And now here we are 7 months later doing church in a whole new way, right? And so I am so excited to be here with you this morning on our, like Pastor Ryan said, our second week of live streaming with you. So, and I love what he said about for 93 years, you've been coming here, and now we are going there, right? And so I'm excited to see what the Lord is doing and how he's moving and how he's honoring our willingness to just kind of lay it all down and do church however we need to do church in this season and in this time, right where we're at. So this morning, would you join me in prayer as we just surrender this service to the Lord? Father God, I thank you that you are in every home, that you are in every car, that you're in every office, that you're in every platform where anyone is logging in or watching for the second time, Lord, or maybe this is the first time anyone's ever checked out church. Father God, we just pray, would you be everywhere? And we thank you that by your Spirit, you are. So would you help us be less today so that you can be more in this place? In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So this morning, I am talking about the idea of you want me to find and follow Jesus. If you have been in a service or even earlier in this service, you heard Pastor Ryan talking about that is our mission here at Calvary is to help people find and follow Jesus. And so I don't know if you are like me, but I am a pretty literal person. That's probably why I work with kids, because kids are literal. If you have kids or if you work with kids, you know that kids do not deal in abstract. They are concrete. They don't deal in, they deal in what they can see, hear, feel, and touch. And so, actually, I was helping with a vacation Bible school years ago. I was in the preschool program, and it was the last day of the first day of VBA. So parents were just starting to come to pick up their kids. And there was this little boy, and he just was bawling. He was beside himself. He was so upset. So I go over with the preschool teacher, and we're trying to calm him down to figure out what he is so upset about. And so in between sobs, he was just kind of doing one of these. So in between sobs, he told us, "My mom said when I came here, I was going to see Jesus, and I didn't see him. Did he go to a different classroom? Did I miss him?" And this little boy was so upset because his mom says that Jesus was in the church. So he thought when he was coming that he was going to see Jesus. And when he didn't, he was so afraid that he missed him. And I just thought that was so cute because that just illustrates how literal kids are and sometimes how literal I can be, because when I think of that idea of you want me to find and follow Jesus, I start asking a lot of questions, like, what does that mean? You want me to find Jesus? I didn't even know he was lost, right? Like, what does that look like in my life? How do I find him? And if I find him, how do I follow him? What does that look like? What does that mean? And knowing what the next right thing is can be real challenging sometimes. I just recently watched the new Frozen movie. I don't know if anybody of you have seen it, but if you have little kids, especially little girls, you've seen it. But this whole theme is kind of woven into the movie of do the next right thing. And I loved that idea is when you're overwhelmed, do the next right thing. But again, in my literal mind, I start thinking, okay, what is the next right thing? What does that look like? What is finding Jesus look like? If you're somebody who's tuning in for the first time because maybe this format of church is a little less intimidating to you this morning, and maybe you have some questions about who is this Jesus person I keep hearing about, and what does it mean to find him or to follow him? And this morning, I wanted to talk about a story in the Bible, and this story is found in Mark 4, and it's 38 through 41. We're going to have it on the screen here. So this, just to give you some context to this story, Jesus has been teaching on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He's been teaching, and there were so many people who came, he actually had to get into a boat and teach from the boat in the lake because there was just so many people. So the context of the story is Jesus is saying to his disciples, let's go over, we'll get in this boat and we'll go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so as they're going, this storm comes up. And so I'm going to read it. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Back in 2014, I had the opportunity to actually go to the Sea of Galilee, and so I had some pictures that I wanted to show you of this area. So this is the first picture, the first view we got of the Sea of Galilee coming out. We were all on a bus coming out of the hills. And I don't know if you noticed it, but the first thing I noticed about it is it looks like exactly like Lake Chelan. Like, seriously, it looks exactly like Lake Chelan. It's a little bit greener than Lake Chelan, but you still got the rolling hills, and then you have this giant lake that just kind of comes out of nowhere, and that's the Sea of Galilee. And so as we were spending some time in this area, we had the opportunity to actually take a boat and go out onto the Sea of Galilee. And the idea behind it was we were kind of going to do a mini service. We were going to have some worship. And then the boat captain was doing a devotional actually on the story that I just read to you. And I think I have a picture of the boat that we took. There it is right now. It was called Faith, fittingly. And so we all piled on this boat and we went out onto the Sea of Galilee. And normally the Sea of Galilee is very calm. I think I have a picture of that too that we took from the shore. It's just kind of very calm, very serene. And so we went out, and as the boat captain, I think I have a picture of him too. There he is. As the boat captain was worshiping with us and talking about this story, he actually said that to this day, every once in a while, there are winds that come out of the Sea of Galilee, and they come out of nowhere, and they turn the sea in from, can I have that last lake picture? From that into just this churning white caps, waves everywhere, and it happens out of nowhere. And he said, to this day, that still happens, and that's what he believes the disciples were recounting in this story in Mark. And they talked about, in some translations, they talk about being terrified as there were waves breaking over the sides of the boat. And I actually, we got to go see a picture, the Jesus boat is what it's called. They've dubbed it because it's a boat that they found on the shores of the Sea of Galilee that they have dated back to the time of Jesus. And when you look at it, you can see that it doesn't sit very high out of the water. So as these waves were crashing, it would have been terrifying to the disciples to see this storm coming. And so one of the reasons I want to talk about that story this morning is when the disciples were terrified, what did they do? They went looking to find Jesus, right? They went looking for him. A few months ago, my husband was leading a devotion, and he said something as I was trying to craft this message and asking the Lord what he would want to say, and he said, he, Jesus, is always there when we go looking for him. So I started thinking about that word looking. And so I did a search online, and I found a couple verses in the Bible that I wanted to talk about this morning. The first one is Deuteronomy 4:29 through 31. And it is, but if from there you seek, I want you to pay attention to that word because we're going to talk about that more. The Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you. Then in later days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. And they're talking about bringing Jerusalem back out of their exile in that verse. And so I started doing a word search on that word seek. I was kind of curious, okay, what Hebrew word is used in that context for seek? And the word used is actually, the Hebrew word is bakesh. It's spelled B-A-U-A-S-H. I could have done a slide for that, but I want to make sure y'all are awake this morning, so I was going to spell it out so you could write it down if you're really interested. Bakesh, and it means something that is desired. So it's not a casual looking for something. It's not a, oh, if I found it, it'd be great. If I don't, it's not that big of a deal. It's a seeking of something, a desiring to find something, to find what you are looking for. There's another verse in the Bible that uses that bekesh word. That verse is from Jeremiah 29:13, and I have that up here. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So that's, again, that bekesh, seeking, desiring. And in this verse is the promise that my husband spoke to in his devotional, that he is faithful to be there when we seek him, when we are looking for him. But again, in my literal mind, I start thinking, okay, what does that look like? What does seeking him look like right where I'm at, right in my context, as I sit in my living room, as I sit in my car, as I sit on my phone, as I sit wherever you're at this morning? What does seeking Jesus look like right where I'm at? What does that look like? And this morning, I've asked a lot of questions. I like to do that. I like to do that with the elementary kids too when I teach with them. One, I kind of look at it as payback for all the times when they were preschoolers and they asked why, what, how, when, what, why. So you're welcome, parents. I also look at it as I ask questions because I want them to start thinking of the answers. I want them to start going naturally where I want to take them. And so this morning, I've asked a lot of questions about what is the next right thing? What does finding and following Jesus look like in my context right where I'm at? Because there are a lot of us who right where you're at in your context has been dramatically changed over the last couple weeks. And so what does that look like? Where do I go? What are my next steps? What's the next right thing? And so in order to get into that and chew on that a little bit with you this morning, I have to use what some people might consider a naughty word, okay? This is a word that has a lot of negative context. Stay with me, people. I'm going somewhere, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to put it up on, there's two words actually. Spirit, that's not naughty. Discipline. That word can have a lot of negative connotations to it. That word can mean a lot of different things. But as I have walked out my faith journey, as I have wrestled with the Lord on some things, I've realized that spiritual discipline is how we find and follow Jesus. This is it. This is where we go. These are our next right steps. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning because we're family, right? I can do that. I can be honest. I really struggle with this. I'm not a terribly disciplined person. Like, I give mad props to Pastor Ryan. Mad props, dude. For getting up every morning at 5 a.m, going to the gym, doing your devotionals. I've tried it. I can maintain it for maybe a couple months, and then I totally lose it because I have to find other ways to fit it in because I'm not that disciplined to be able to do that. I kind of tend to camp in this living, loving, breathing relationship with Jesus. Why do I have to add that naughty word into it? Why can't I just have a living, breathing, loving relationship with Jesus and call it good? And I know some of you have probably already answered that question, but I'm going to go ahead and answer it how Jesus answered it for me. And how he answered it for me was, I was in a service years ago, and the speaker was a gentleman named Dr. Terry Green. He's a professor out of Tennessee, and he talked about this very subject, and he used the word picture of a vine and a trellis. And those of you who are gardeners with me this morning, you're really going to relate to this imagery. But if you have a trellis, right, what's the point of it? Well, the point of the trellis is to support the vine. as the vine is the living, breathing, growing part. But if it doesn't have a trellis, what's it going to do? It's going to lay on the ground. It's going to be susceptible to rot and to bugs. It's never going to be as healthy, as big. It's going to choke itself out. It's never going to be as full of life as it could if it had a trellis to grow into, to build up, to become something bigger and more beautiful than it ever could be laying on the ground. And that's why the spiritual disciplines are so important, because that's how we build the trellis. We build the trellis with our spiritual disciplines. And as I was researching that idea for this message, I realized that there is actually not a list of these are the 10 spiritual disciplines, or like there's the 10 commandments or the fruits of the spirit. We have a list of what those are. The disciplines of the spiritual disciplines are, there's a lot of them that kind of come in and out. And so I've kind of made a list of the ones that kept popping back up most frequently as I researched for this message. So I have just a few of them. It's not an exhaustive list. Like I said, these are the ones that just kept popping up the most frequently as I was researching for this message. We have fasting. That's kind of sacrificing something in acknowledgement of our reliance on the Lord, whether it be food, whether it be technology. I have friends who've fasted caffeine before. Just kind of fasting, giving something up in acknowledgement for our need of the Lord. Word, that's obviously the Bible. Worship, prayer, service, that's giving of your time and your talents right in the community where God has put you, because he's put you there for a reason. Tithing, Pastor Ryan and Linnea talked about that earlier. Fellowship, being together with one another. And like I said, I've been in ministry for about 13 years. I've worked with kids that whole time. And I've been writing messages for kids for probably the last 7 years or so. And a few years ago, I noticed something kept popping back up that out of this list. There were three things that just kept coming back up over and over and over. And so a few years ago, I actually started paying attention to it, and I noticed a pattern. And it was every time I would get to the application part of my message with the kids, these three things kept popping up. So that's what I want to focus on with you this morning. And those three things are worship, word, and prayer. And I'm really sorry, I tried to find a W word for prayer that would work so we could have three W words, and I couldn't find one, so I tried. But we've got worship, word, and prayer. Worship is how we nurture the vine. Our worship, our sacrifice of praise is part of our living, breathing, loving relationship with Jesus. How I refrain from yelling things at the driver in front of me on I-5 is a worship to the Lord. It's a sacrifice of praise. How I parent my kids right now who are home full time, and I'm very excited about that, are home full time, and I have patience and kindness with them. That's a worship to the Lord. That's a sacrifice of praise that I'm giving to him. I'm nurturing my vine as I'm worshiping him with who I am, with what I do, with how I do it, is a worship to our Savior and King. Word. I don't know, I'm very open about it, so most of you who know me probably know this, but I'm dyslexic. I was diagnosed in fourth grade, so reading is something, I've had people ask me when I tell them I'm dyslexic, they're like, can you read? Yes, I can read, I just struggle with it a little bit, and so word has been something that I've really had to be intentional with, because I don't always understand. I don't always pick up what the Lord is putting down in his word. And so one thing that's really helped me is I discovered Pastor Matthew told me that the Bible app actually will read the Bible to you. That was like a hallelujah moment right there when I realized that. So that's something I do, but it's something that I have to be real intentional about. But this is God's living word to us. This is a gift that the Lord has given to us to help us as we walk out our journeys, as we figure out next steps, and he speaks through his word. It's incredible, and I love how I can open this book and read a verse that I've read 50 times and then go in and read it, and the 51st time, the Lord peels back a layer and reveals something completely new and completely different, and I look at that verse, look at that chapter, look at that book in a whole new way. That's his word. That's how he speaks to us. But, and I tell the kids this, there's a trick. There's a trick to using this word. Okay, but don't worry. I'm going to show you what it is right now. Okay, are you ready? In order to use this gift that the Lord has given to us, you have to open it. You have to look in it. You have to read it. You have to chew on it. You have to be willing to, like me, say, I don't understand. There was one time when I was very young. I can't remember what grade I was in, but I was trying to read this word because somebody gave me the Bible, and I was trying to read it, and I couldn't understand. And I was actually in tears. I was crying. I was like, Lord, I don't get it. I don't know. I'm not picking up what you're putting down. And that was the first time ever in my life that the Lord spoke to me, and he just said, faith. Have faith that you'll get it. Keep trying. Keep wrestling. Have faith. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you with it. And that's the gift we have of his word. But we have to be disciplined, my friends, and actually open it. Actually look at what it says and be willing to not understand it, to fight with it, to chew on it, to invite your friends to help you understand, to reach out and ask questions about it. The third, and what I would argue is probably the best place to start, is prayer. Remember our story from earlier this morning where we looked at the disciples in the boat and how they were scared, and they were hurt, and they were afraid, and they didn't know what to do next, and they went to find Jesus. My friends, this morning, whoever you are, wherever you are, prayer is how you find him. If you aren't comfortable with the word, if you're not comfortable with worship, if you that's not part of your vocabulary, that's not part of where you're at or what you know how to do, talk to Jesus. He's waiting. He's right there. He's waiting to talk to you. Is it super awkward for those of us who haven't done it before? Yeah, I can relate to you with awkward because let me tell you, I have had, my poor husband has had to set up our camera in different rooms of the house because for the last 3 days, I've been walking around the house randomly talking to this camera, trying to get used to talking to a camera today because it's awkward at first because I've never done it before. But the more I did it, the more I got used to it, and the easier and less awkward it became. Don't worry, Adam. We'll put the camera away after today. So, my friends, where are you at this morning? Where is your vine? Are you one of those people who I've got the disciplines down? I understand that. I like that. I like my checklist of things that I can do and everything will turn out right. Just give me my list of things that I can do and I've got that. But maybe the unpredictableness of Jesus is a little scary. Maybe the vine part needs some nurturing. Maybe there needs to be a laying down and a surrendering of everything that you have and everything you are to nurture and grow your vine. Or where's your trellis? Where's your trellis at this morning? Are you intentional to take time to open this word, even 5 minutes a day? Open it, look in it, chew on it, wrestle with it. Are you intentional to have conversation with Jesus? Are you intentional to talk with him? To have that ongoing relationship with Jesus? Because again, I'm going to be honest with you, church, every time in my life where I felt dry, where I felt discouraged, where I felt hopeless, where I felt hurting, where I felt I don't know what my next steps are, I don't know what the best things are, it's because I've let my spiritual disciplines fall. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Every single time in my life, it's because I haven't been intentional with being in the Word. Right? I work at church. I'm in the Word all the time to craft messages and to research different sermon series for the kids. That's enough, right? No, it's not. Am I seeking him through his Word? Am I desiring, am I that Bekesh word, desiring him to speak to me right where I'm at in this Word? Am I on my knees praying? I really struggled with this message. Again, I have to be honest. I can't be any other thing. I really struggled with this message. I didn't feel like I was connecting with it. I didn't feel like it was good. I was really discouraged about it. And then the Lord started talking to me. He said, Hallie, have you been intentional to get on your knees and to seek me in this? Or have you just been researching and looking, Googling things online, trying to figure out what other people say? Have you been intentional to seek me in this message? And I had to be honest last night. I was like, no. I haven't. I'm sorry if that makes you people lose respect for me. Like I said, I have to be honest. And it wasn't until last night and this morning when I was on my knees, when I was asking the Lord, Lord, make this real to me. What do you want to say? We need hope right now. We need encouragement. We need to know what the next right thing is. Father, I don't even know what next week is going to look like. How do I know what the next right thing is? And I got on my knees and I was honest with him where I'm at or where I'm not at. And he met me right where I was. Why? Because he's always right there waiting for us. I loved what that, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, what that gentleman said in the video this morning. And I love how the Lord weaves things together, because I had no idea that they were going to play what that video had in it. But it's not the world's job to come to church. It's our job to go into the world. It's our job to shore up our vine, or shore up our trellis, to nurture our vine so that we can be strong in the faith, so that we can get out. We've been forced outside the walls of the church. So it's our obligation to go out, to give hope. We're in the middle of a Get Your Hopes Up sermon series. These spiritual disciplines, worship, word, prayer, that's where we find the hope that the world needs. That's where we go, we get it, and we go out and we share it with whoever God will bring into our hearts, into our minds, whether it's through prayer or a phone call or a text. Let me tell you, since this quarantine started, I have gotten more texts from people that I haven't heard from in years, and it inspires me and it fills me up and it lets me know I'm not alone. Who do you need to text this morning? Or are you in a place, God bless you, where you feel like my vine and my trellis are doing good? I'm doing well. Great. Go out and share it. Other people need to hear that there are people who are doing well, that you're okay, that you're in a good place right now. Share it. Don't hold it. One of the things that keeps coming back into my mind is this idea that the church does its best when it's forced outside the walls. So this morning, wherever you're at, and I'm going to invite Bino and Chelsea to come forward, wherever you're at, whether you're someone who has served the Lord faithfully for years, where's your vine? Where's your trellis? Whether you're somebody who's doing well, doing good, or whether you're somebody who's maybe never attended a church service, but the idea of streaming something online seemed, okay, I could do that. I don't think I could go to that building, but I could watch online. You're you have questions, or maybe you just kind of want to check it out and see, I would encourage you to talk to Jesus. Nobody's watching. Nobody's going to judge you. No one's going to say anything. And this morning, if you are in a place where you need something, I need hope, I need healing, I need light, and I need love in my life, and I don't know what the next right thing is, would you pray with me this morning? If you've never found Jesus, would you pray with me this morning as we find him together? Father God, how we love you. Lord Jesus, we lift our hearts to you. And for those of you who have never asked Jesus into your heart right now, I want you to just raise your hand right where you are. Nobody's watching. Nobody's going to judge you. Just raise your hand. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I'm seeking you and I desire you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my body, with all my soul, because what I've tried isn't working. I need hope. I need to get my hopes up this morning. I invite you, Jesus, would you pray with me? I invite you into my heart. Cleanse me of all my sin and transgression. I lay it down to you. I want to belong to you wholly, because you're the hope that I need. I don't know what it looks like, but you do. And so I'm going to worship you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to get in your word. If that's you this morning, would you just say amen with me? And for my seasoned saints who've been walking this out for years, let me encourage you. He sees you. He has not forsaken you. He's right there. Go find him. Open his word. Talk to him. He's waiting right there. Hallelujah. Let's worship together.